Podcasting 2.0 for August 4th, 2023, episode 143, In the Skiff. Well, hello, everybody. We are back after 1 week hiatus. This is Podcasting 2.0, the industry spot to get your eyes poked out with scissors. Yes, we're the only boardroom that splits its time and value. All the news about podcastindex.org, of course, everything about the podcast namespace, and everything happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. He's back from the Redwoods of California, rested, ready to rock, and knee-deep in ribs. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
What up, Bala?
Hey, Bala. How you doing, Bala?
Oh, what's careful. Instagram baller?
Oh, careful. You can't say stuff like that because then the AI will block us from having ads.
Oh, the racist AI?
Yeah. Yes. Podcasting while being black, I think, is now something that gets you deplatformed.
Yeah. Automatically with no human intervention.
No human intervention whatsoever. Hey, Dave, how was your vacation, man?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It did nothing to calm the Ludditism within me. It just made it so much worse.
So Dave's on vacation. He's texting me from the airport. He's texting me updates. He's literally in the Redwoods of California sending me pictures. I'm like, come on, man, chill out, bro. Take yourself some rest. And then it did kind of stop. But then, you know, you send me an article and you never really kind of got off the system, did you?
I can't fully disconnect from podcasting 2.0. I feel like there's stuff going on. I need to know what's going on, and I don't want to come back to a mailbox of 300 people saying, "Hey, my stuff's broke." You know, and I'm like, oh no.
Well, I understand that.
I can't unplug fully.
Are you still using the light phone, or have you given up on it?
Well, no, I was using it, but on the trip, I'm like, I got to have access to a full mobile system because we've got, you know, maps, all that stuff.
So. Yeah. Yeah. When we go to, we're going to Europe next Friday, actually, for almost 2 weeks. And yeah, I definitely have to have the full mobile experience for all the stuff we'll be doing. But
it's fine. You just switch the SIM and it's all good.
Oh, yeah. No, but I use the light phone exclusively anytime. Did I tell you what happened with the car?
No.
Oh, man. So, I've been using the light phone wherever I go. And we went to see Suzanne Santo. She did it before. This is when my daughter was here. So a couple of weeks back. And it was in Driftwood, just about an hour and 15 minutes from our house. And it was going to be a dinner as well. You know, it kind of turned out to be a gig that looked a bit like we were crashing some old folks' home cafeteria.
A shuffleboard?
We were pretty much the hippest people in the room. But it was fun, you know, and we went there to support Suzanne. And we know her husband, too. And then we go to leave, and it's 110 degrees that particular day. And so now it's 8 p.m., 8:30. We get to the car. Car won't start.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean,
this is a fairly new car.
Yeah. And of course, what that means is everything lights up. The dashboard lights up. Every light on the dashboard lights up, but it won't start. I think I know why that happened, but it all turned out okay. But then you press this little button, you know, you got a button that that will put you in contact with the company, and then they're supposed to come and save you. That whole experience was horrible. Yeah. I really expected, hello, this is Helga from Mercedes. We have a Maybach on the way for you. Everything is going to be fine. Your dog is fed. We'll be picking you up very shortly. It's all going to be fine, Mr. Curry.
Instead, this did not happen.
No, it's like, hey, it's Justin here. How you doing? What's your VIN number? Anyway, so Justin had to send me to get my location. I guess part of their process, he had to send me a link to my phone through text message.
You're on the light phone. This is a curse. This is horrible.
So I certainly received it, but I could not tap on it and open a browser or anything like that.
Yeah, you're like, hey, Justin, I got your link.
I got your link, Justin. So I decided that from now on, when I'm in the car, I will take the the toilet scroller, just turn it off and just put it in, you know, in the glove box. So if I happen to need it, then I can get it. I'm pretty disciplined that way.
It's made my smart, when I have to switch back to the full smartphone, I'm more disciplined now. I may end up doing that Gab phone. I may give that a shot.
Gab phone? I'm not familiar with this. The Gab phone?
Oh, you know the Gab phone. Oh, you know the Gab phone.
Is that for kids?
I think it's marketed for kids, but it's basically just a smartphone that doesn't do any apps.
Gab. Yeah, it's marketed for kids. Yeah.
I may give that a shot.
It has no internet.
Yeah. Okay. But it's got,
it has maps and stuff.
It's better able to handle the stuff like getting a link from Justin. Right.
I like this because I can track you and make sure you're okay. I like this. You'll be my child. I can track you on the Gab phone.
Are you going to put parental controls on my device? You
better believe it.
I'm going to be toilet scroll replying a mastodon and from the Sequoia National Forest that's going to shut it down.
There you go. Like,
enough.
Yeah. No, I love my Graphene OS. You can use Graphene OS and make it minimal. You can do that.
Let me tell you what did happen though, and this is a thing that I don't understand. As soon as I got to California, so we landed in Fresno. Let's see, on the 24th, so yeah. we landed. The American Airlines travel experience is
subpar.
It is in the toilet. Uh-huh. It is the most horrible thing ever. I will do the best I can never to fly that airline again.
Yeah.
But they've got a lock on Fresno for some reason.
Yeah.
So we got in there to Fresno, and I'm telling you, within 10 minutes of landing, I started getting spam calls from California area codes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
How is that possible? How do they know?
What carrier are you using?
Verizon.
There you go. They're selling you crap.
Dude, it was instant.
Dude. That's horrible. I mean, I'm getting a slew of pig butchers these days.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it was great seeing you the other day. Or, hey, is this Debbie's number? Or,
yeah. The tennis coach.
Yeah, exactly. The tennis coach.
I don't know.
It's horrible.
Yeah, whatever data, some scammer somewhere has access to a fire hose of like a connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's quick.
I wonder, it could be, there could be a couple of things. It could be like a stingray someone set up at the airport, you know, so basically a man in the middle, you connect and then it connects you on. I mean, it could be all kinds. Who knows? Maybe the airport has a deal. Maybe American Airlines did it.
That would not be, you know what? That wouldn't be a surprise because you're very prone to, at least I am very prone to signing up for the flight status text messages. You know, you want to get these, your seat changed. Your boarding time has changed. Your blood, yeah. your gate changed.
Are you using the American Airlines app?
I'm not using the app. I just signed up for the text message alerts whenever I get a seat change or a gate change or something.
It's horrible. Everything is disgusting. Everything's just
it's
disgusting.
All gross.
Yeah, it is.
But then when you get out in the middle of Sequoia amongst the wilderness,
you just have no reception.
None at all. And you just forget that it even exists. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Well, a funny thing happened while you were away.
Yeah, did you do any? Did you do anything new?
Yeah, I did this little thing called Boostagram Ball.
Oh, I hadn't heard about this.
Yes,
explain it to me. This was a fantastic show. I loved it.
Well, thank you. I'm so proud of all of us. I mean, and I have comments, of course. I have some notes on stuff that went wrong, but I am so proud of, because this was everything. all to get all the things we've done in the past 3 years, all of it.
Full, I mean, you threw the whole sink at it,
including IPFS podcasting, which we'll talk about as well.
when I found out you were doing that, that's when I started texting you. I'm like, you were doing IPFS too. This is, you've completely lost your mind.
I figured might as well get the biggest scissors we got and just run like crazy.
Yeah.
Now, so I did it lit. So, you know, why not? Right. And actually Stephen B was so kind. He did a full on, screencast with me, you know, a couple days before, so I could really understand how to use the split kit, because I was very confused about it. And really, it's interesting. It's one of those things, and that's my downfall, because I'm usually on a lot of this stuff so early. You get used to doing something. We get used to how the flow worked and when it was all baked into Sovereign feeds, and then it gets, you know, got pulled out, appropriately so, into the split kit, and I'm just expecting it to work in a similar way, and I was overthinking it all, and it's much simpler. I'm like, man, no one will understand how this interface works, but actually I was just overthinking how it was supposed to work. It's so incredibly simple.
You sounded, can I give you my initial feedback on
a Yelp review?
Yeah. 4 out of 5 stars.
Oh, 4 out of 5. I'll take it. Thank you.
So I listened to about half of the show before we had to go. So, and then I went back and I listened to the whole thing on, after it was posted on the feed. So about half of the live show.
How were you listening? Were you listening on ear pods or earbuds, or what were you listening on?
AirPods. Yeah.
Okay.
AirPods. I was listening on AirPods on, so I was listening. Okay. AirPods through the link that you sent for the Lightning, like they had the page on it that, yeah, I don't know what this thing is.
The split kit page.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I was listening on Safari on the split kit page through AirPods.
Good. That's a very decent way to do it. I prefer the app, of course, but that certainly works.
So there's, okay, this review is going to be split into two different parts.
Oh boy. I'm screwed. No. Bruno, what did you think of his dance?
You know, like you have an Amazon review where they're supposed to be reviewing the product, but all they do is bitch about the shipping. Yeah. Okay, so for this, there's going to be two parts. There's going to be the delivery of the show and the show itself. So the delivery of the show through Safari, through the split kit page, that failed frequently.
Interesting.
But the way that it always failed was it would, if I had to do anything else on the phone, it would kill the audio, and I had to, and I fully blame Safari for this. I think this is 100% a Safari problem.
100%. Because it would go to the background and then it stops.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And then when you try to get back in it, it loses its mind. So you have to refresh the page, which then
sets you back to zero.
You have to log back into Albie. You have to do all of it. It's a 30 to 45 second process.
You didn't have any of these modern apps we've worked so hard on loaded on your phone?
I don't know. What are these things? I don't know what you're speaking of. Trying through that because I thought, okay, I want to see the album art change with the WebSocket and all this stuff. Yeah. Like I want that. And I'm thinking, so my only two options for that are the split kit page or CurioCaster.
So this was live. You were listening live.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
In the Airbnb at Sequoia. So, I'm like, my only two options here are the split kit page, HTML page, or CurioCaster. Both are web-based, so I'm like, well, that's probably it's roughly equivalent. It's about the same either way. And they're both Stephen B. products, so I'm like, it's probably going to be about the same code under the hood. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just do the split kit page. Mm-hmm. And I think Safari just F's the whole thing up. I just don't think it's a stable platform for web apps.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so that's the shipping review. The product review is, like I said, 4 out of 5 stars. And I think the only it's not really a ding. It's just that you were, I could tell that you had so much going on. You were distracted.
Really? Yeah. Yes. Yes, because there were things not happening right. I was trying to, you know, whenever I start a song, I'd have to simultaneously click the value block for that song. Right. And there were other things. Okay. Thank you for that.
That's me. No,
thank you for that review. So the first thing I did wrong is in SplitKit, I did not have the box checked that says automatically broadcast default podcast when active block ends. And so I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, hold on a second. It's still showing the song and it should be stopped by now. So that was the first thing. And then there was just a lot going on. I mean, once the songs were playing, I'm okay. In fact, I even did something very cool and very DJ-ish. I went to the bathroom during a song. Like, ah, this is so cool. I'm peeing during a podcast. I haven't done this in years. So the show itself, I was quite happy with. I'm sorry you heard my distraction. That is a professional ding that I take quite seriously. And no, you know,
let me be clear.
Five out of five stars, you know, then Uber will eventually fire me. So
you get surge pricing.
So my surge pricing goes down.
let me be clear. I could tell something within the first 20 or so minutes of the show. I could tell that you were trying to, I'm not going to say nervous. It wasn't nervousness. It was more like, I could tell that you were just like, you couldn't focus fully on the things you were trying to say because you were moving so many buttons.
At the same time, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
But about 20 to 30 minutes into the show, like, it felt like all that went away.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
You settled
in. Yeah. Fair. Totally fair.
And then at that point, it was just a smooth. It felt like I was back in Daily Source Code. It was just smooth sailing. Well, it was awesome.
So the first thing, there's a lot I can talk about, but I'm so pleased with the songs that I was able to find. The sourcing of the material was actually quite easy because we had already played a number of these songs on this podcast. So I already had an idea. There's some really kick-ass songs. And then I was trying to do a real Friday, you know, like kick-ass feel to it. I sang kick-ass a lot, but I meant it. Mm-hmm. So all of that went relatively well. And, you know, I had the lineup good. Although, you know, a request came in for a song. But I figured, you know, since I'm doing everything now, why not just try a request as well? So I added it to the SplitKit in real time and then had to find the song and get it all going. So there's a lot of things, but it's possible. I mean, it's back to almost the old school days of DJing where you really had to queue up the record. You had to physically hit cart machines. And so there's a lot of that going on now.
And you kind of like that, though.
I love it. So once we were done, this is where problems started. So I specifically wanted to have chapters as well. So I wanted the chapters timed. And there is a JSON chapter output on SplitKit, which, you know, so these are just all the bugs we're finding, right? So if you had something in the order on SplitKit, it's out of order, like that request song was all the way at the end, but it had the correct start time. Instead of that working and putting it in the chapters at the correct start time, it put it at the end. So these were all little annoyances. The thing that really stood out is the lack of adherence to spec. And we noticed this right away when the value block wasn't switching in any of the apps. Pew! And I'm flipping out, you know, so I've just done this show. I'm like, oh, the live stuff was great. People are boosting. It's all fantastic. All of that works. But then in the replay, the two things are not happening. The chapters are staying all the way through until the next song. What I expected it to do, because I had end times in the chapters, is for the current chapter art to stop and then the defaults to come back.
Right.
Which I think is spec.
Yes.
If you have an end time. So that didn't happen. People are ignoring end times. And by the way, I think the best experience still would be Podverse, because Podverse, the art switches while you're listening, and Fountain doesn't do that. And I really was looking at these two apps specifically. I knew Curio, and CurioCaster also had a problem. Everyone had a problem. But the biggest problem...
With the end time specifically.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I tested that on CurioCaster, but no one had the end times as far as I could tell.
Here's what I would expect to happen, and this may not be clear from the spec, I don't know. I would expect that whenever the chapter art... If there's an end time in the chapter section, that at the when the end gets hit and there's no next chapter that's starting, that the original show art,
yes,
it just flips back to the same, yes, to the main album art.
Exactly what I expected.
Okay, all right.
That did not happen. The second thing was real breakage, because I set up the Boostagram ball. And the Boostagram ball has a show value block just for the entire show. And when I, so I just added the, through SplitKit, I imported the value time splits. It didn't work on any app. Every single app required there to be a value block in it in order for the value time splits to work, which I also don't think is spec. Does that make sense?
Okay. You're saying that the lack of a feed level value block.
No, I had the feed level block, but I didn't have the item level block. And we've only tested it with item level blocks on this show. We've never tested it with no item level block, just pure value time split block.
Okay, this is similar to the issue that a lot of apps had at the beginning when we started doing the live item tag, where there was,
yes,
when you have a feed that has episodes and then you add a live item, when you have a feed that has items, then you add a live item, everything worked fine. But if you had a feed where there was nothing in it, literally nothing, and you only had a live item, it freaked everything out.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. So,
okay.
So my feed did not have value recipients at the item level block. Mm-hmm. It only had the value time split. Then not a single app understood it. And now imagine, yeah, I'm done. I'm testing it on apps. I'm seeing 100% of the boost go to the show level block, nothing to the artist. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is bad. Because this is the premiere show and the artists aren't getting anything. And I have a dinner in Dripping Springs in an hour with our pastor and his wife and two other friends. I'm with Stephen B and we're trying to troubleshoot it. His daughter's turning six. So he has birthday party stuff. And I'm just And I'm just like, pew! I said, Jesus, help me. Dave's in the forest. I gave it to the Lord, and we'll have. And you know, Steve said, you know, man, I probably can't get to it till tonight or tomorrow. And you know, that was just what it was. You know, so I'm like, okay, I'm a big boy. I just felt so bad because I knew that basically I'm getting all the Satoshis, and the whole point was for them to go to the artist anyway. But during the dinner, I get a text from Stephen B. He said, I figured it out. He figured out what the problem was. Well, we figured it out together. And then I can't even remember. I wound up putting an item level value block in, and that cleared it up. And then there was other stuff going on, and he'll have to explain what it was. All kinds of other things were happening.
Okay, so you threw in an item level value block and everything just magically fixed
and then
itself.
It started. Yeah, I mean, it was probably a combo of two different things. Steven also set some other stuff, and he was fixing the chapter issue so that because I think it was also the one I played out of order wasn't working. It somehow it mattered that I'm not saying this right. Even though the time was correct in the value time split for the song I played at that was placed in the value time split block at the end. Mm-hmm. Some apps I think didn't pick it up. And to be fair, everyone's in beta on this stuff. And so this was running with scissors and Fountain. Yeah. I'm using the beta of Fountain And I knew it was wrong there because it wasn't picking up anything. I saw the references tab wasn't even there. And so, and it wasn't doing it right. And it actually wasn't catching the first block. I mean, there's all kinds of little things that were happening. But right. as time progressed, as time went on, things just kind of started to shake out and started to, and I'm doing resets on the feed and the index, you know, make sure everything gets brought back in again. And then by then it's working pretty well. And I'm seeing, because I have the new helipad on my start 9 box, I can see the split, you know, so I can actually see as it comes in and say, okay, that looks like, you know, 5% of the entire boost because it has the Satoshis that came in, and in parentheses on the new helipad, it shows the total boost amount.
Okay.
So now I know, of course, I still don't really know what it's going to because no one has that encoded. The apps aren't telling me what it's boosting. It's just, it tells me it's boosting my show, and I can see from the numbers that I'm getting just a small percentage. So my presumption is it's going to the right destination. In fact, I have to say Podverse, when you use Podverse, when you go to boost, it shows you the split right there, and you don't have to like Fountain. You have to tap into see the split. And I don't think Fountain in the beta, I don't think it shows the value time split. So there's all kinds of confusing stuff, but I could see when I hit it on Fountain, then it would come in and it would be a small percentage. So I figured it worked, but no one is sending along the title of the remote item. That would be really handy if we had that.
So we're just in the spec is only the remote feed GUID and the remote item GUID. The only two things that come through.
Right. But from that, they could parse it and say, okay, this is a boost for Boostagram Ball, podcast.
Helipad would have to do that.
Oh, Helipad has to do that? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because all you're getting, the only thing they can send, unless they just encode it textually in the boost somehow, is just the feed GUID and the item GUID. So on the receiver end, we would have to do a lookup and get what that was.
Okay. So I found a bug on Podverse in this process. Podverse was actually sending it reverse. So I'd get the full amount first on helipad and then in parentheses the percentage that I actually got. And Mitch jumped on that right away and he fixed that.
Okay. Cool.
Castomatic, I saw Castomatic. Franco is testing something and he's only sending total sats. TLV. He's not sending the percentage received, Franco.
So he's not sending he's sending the original amount, or the other way around.
No, he's not sending the actual. He's sending the total amount.
Okay, so you're not seeing an accurate representation of what you got versus
correct. Okay, correct. Right. Correct. So,
which I need to talk. I want to talk about Castomatic in a bit.
Yeah, well, I know because you're building some kind of shim, I hear.
yes.
So let me see what else I had on my notes here. Other than that, I think those were the bugs. I mean, this is very small stuff comparatively speaking. And I have to say, so this thing hit big. I mean, I got calls from the Netherlands. People are, you know, radio people saying, what's going on? I want to interview you.
Nice.
Sam Sethi called. He says,
I heard your interview. Yeah, it was good.
Was the audio doing weird stuff on your...
It was very cutty.
Yeah. It sounded like there was some kind of encoding issue they might have had on this particular episode.
I agree. Yeah.
It wasn't just my interview. It was throughout the whole show I was hearing it.
James said he was trying to edit you down to 20 minutes of cream.
Honestly, I think he did a pretty good job.
I did too. Yeah.
Because he got the most important stuff in there. And for me, the most important, again, is this is everybody. This is every single person who has worked on this project from the beginning. All these pieces came together and... You know, it's a shining moment for all of us. And then to see, and this is the thing that that I love the most to see James jump in and immediately do his own music show just made me, I was beaming. I'm so happy. That is so cool because I want to see thousands of music shows, thousands, tens of thousands of music shows. And for a number of reasons, but another one is like, oh man, where do you find that song? I want to play that song. You know, so it's discovery upon discovery. And the artist feedback has been fantastic. I mean, just, they're getting value. They're feeling appreciated. They're excited. I have a whole inbox filled with play my song, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, well, that's what you want. That's exactly the real deal right there.
What you want. And then to top it all off, IPFS podcasting worked. It worked. And not just a little bit.
Perhaps the most solid part of the whole show.
Yes. I mean, I screwed something up as we were, you know, me, it's like, I'm so frustrated trying to get, why is it not working? And so I did a GUID change. Yeah, that's always smart.
Yeah.
So if you got episode one twice, that's what it is. And then of course, Cameron's like, hey, what's going on? Did you do a GUID change? I'm sorry, man. but the splits, I've just got to explain this for people who haven't heard about this. So IPFS network, the interplanetary file system, which has been around for a long time. We've talked about this many times over. We've talked about implementation, and Cameron has been so diligent just working there in his shack in the woods. And he, you know, IPFpodcasting.net, which has been running for months and months and months. I have all my podcasts on there. I can see that people are definitely downloading them from there. Thank you to RSS.com. Is it RSS.com? Yeah. They have a huge node that they maintain.
Yeah, Alberto is a big IPFS guy. Yeah. He loves it. Yeah.
So, you know, he's pinning everything, which is incredibly important. And the thing that was always the dream, you know, the Web3 dream, Web3, has always been that you would be compensated for your participation in hosting some media files.
Yeah, that was the Filecoin.
That's what Filecoin was. And Filecoin was a shit coin. And it was just, and, you know, the guys who owned all the coins were always trying to get up in our knickers. Hey, how about, do you like that? My British.
You sound so British.
They're trying to get with my beta. They were trying to get up in our upper skirt, basically. And, mm-hmm. And we just weren't having it. It's like, I'm just not interested in that. And so Cameron put, and I didn't even know it was going to be fully automated. I had no idea how he was going to do this. And so if you're a participant and the podcast is put IPFSpodcasting.net into the value block, and I have it in for 5%, which was recommended, then whenever either enough sats come through or a stream or a boost, or I don't even know what it is, you get this wonderful message, like a really, I got to bring it up. It's a very pleasant message that says, thank you so much for hosting I'll give you the exact wording in a second. Got to open up a second helipad here. Mm-hmm. And it's so friendly, and you see it just coming in continuously. Now it's the way he's done this is whatever that 5% is that comes into IPFSpodcasting.net, it gets split amongst all the peers that have pinned that episode. So it's not necessarily if it came from you or not. It's the fact that you're participating and you get a split whether it came from you or not. So here's an example. Let me go down here. So 8 sats, Boostergram Ball, episode 1. Thank you from Boostergram. It's in parentheses. Thank you from Boostergram Ball for hosting Boostergram Ball, episode 01 via IPFS podcasting. And you feel so good about this. You do. It just feels good.
So I got my node set up last night. Of course, piled it onto the same box that I'm podcasting from right now. That also is the Umbral and all that.
Yes, of course. Yes, as one does.
Yes. So I got it set up. I currently have 864 peers. And I'm hosting about 200 megs of episodes.
Nice.
I've not received any of the warm greetings that you just talked about. I haven't got any payments yet.
And you just got it up set up today or yesterday?
Last night.
Okay. Yeah.
I only got a couple of episodes today. So, I mean, it's real slow.
Right. I'm hosting Pod News as well. And I've gotten payments from Pod News.
So I went in and tell me if I did it right. I went in and like favorited shows that I wanted to be a part of hosting.
Mm-hmm. Did you make it a red heart or a gold heart?
I think red.
Okay. That means you only start hosting stuff from that moment forward. You don't go back and index the whole catalog.
Okay. So if it's gold, it does the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to gold it up then. I need to switch my.
Yeah. As long as you have disk space, then it's no problem. And you know what I love about, this was probably the most solid piece of the whole thing we did. Because, you know, I was completely sovereign, basically. I output my sovereign feeds, RSS feed. I put it onto my own server, added that to the index, and added it to my IPFS podcasting node, added it to my own Lightning node for my own payments. And IPFS of just hosting it. You could get it from somewhere else, the original place I uploaded it, but you know, that's not the enclosure URL. The enclosure URL is to IPFS podcasting. And so he's rotating what exit node it comes off of. And honestly, I was a little worried that it just might be too overwhelming. And I mean, except for the very, very beginning, there was not a single failure. No one's complained about it not playing. James, I think, saw some cores issues, which we couldn't replicate. Not sure why that happened.
And then it fixed itself automatically.
It did kind of fix itself. But this also really solves the main problem of broadcasting on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, with broadcast, you have an antenna, and every new listener you get is actually more revenue for you. Whereas with podcasting and streaming and all these other things, every person you add is more cost, because ultimately it costs more bandwidth to distribute it. And now it's just split up amongst a whole bunch of other people.
Well, we're going to get Cameron on as soon as you get back from vacation. And discuss this, and probably have Alberto on as well. He said he's good to go. So we're gonna deep dive into this. But I think you're right. And I also had this thought that, you know, I don't know if you saw that news this week about Amazon starting to impose this 30% fee.
Yeah, does anyone have a podcast app on Amazon?
I don't know, but you can generally call these platform taxes. You know, you're going to pay us for the privilege of being hosted on our platform.
Well, to be fair, what I heard, the way I understood it, is they say either you use our advertising infrastructure or you pay 30%. It's like a cork fee.
Yeah.
And Amazon's advertising infrastructure is quite good. So if you're in the advertising game and they had advertising, I can see where they might do that, where they might do something for it. I mean, they want to get people in. I don't think it's about taking the 30% for them. I think it's about getting people to use their advertising platform, which is just as evil, obviously.
Well, the IPFS podcasting solves not only the problem you talked about, where it's like the more successful the show is, the more it costs. It solves the platform tax issue as well, because now you're baked into this whole thing you're paying for the platform.
No, it's better. So, the people who are listening are paying for the platform.
Yeah, it's not even you. This is the beauty.
This is value for value, straight up.
Yeah, it's like they're paying for the delivery of the content that they want.
That they're using. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
No, I think it doesn't end around on all of this stuff. Hosting companies that are not at least looking at this, you've got to.
Well, this is the best part. Because Alberto's in the conversation, and he says, man, I'm really looking forward to getting paid for hosting files.
Yeah.
And I don't have to have customer service for these people.
Yeah, it turns it from a call center into a profit center.
Yes.
But let me tell you, I mean, you can buy a $10,000 HP DL360 with about, you know, 10 terabytes of data or something like that, or let's just say 40 terabytes of data of storage, and just host a humongous IPFS node, and you're in the game.
Now, here's the thing, though. There's, I think, a downside to this that we haven't discussed. Okay. So when I started with Boostagram Ball, I'm getting a sizable amount of Satoshis. Now, the more nodes that come on, the less I'm getting. So the question is, does this remain a split equal amongst everyone who's pinning the show? Or do you balance it out based upon whose node actually supplied that particular download? I don't even know if you can do that. I mean, I don't know. But the more nodes are online, the less you're going to get. Of course, that also means the less you'll be. I just don't know if that's a real business, I guess.
Well, it's a real business from the standpoint of take the money part away of the getting paid for the delivery.
Okay.
And just look at the just the peer-to-peer nature of not having to serve all of it yourself.
Right.
You know, that alone is worth, I mean, because if you think, you know, I don't know what the typical bill is for CDNs for hosting companies, but it's got to be in the thousands of dollars a month.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I
don't know.
More than that.
10 grand a month. I don't know. You take one, 10, 15, I don't know. It's got to be a lot. So you take, let's just say you take 1 month of CDN hosting cost, dump that into a fat server at a colo, and host as much as you can. And if every host does that, mm-hmm. and they all begin to share the load, mm-hmm. and all the peer and all the community, the peer to peer. I mean,
you remove the biggest problem they have.
Yeah.
I would run
a decent size server at Linode for this.
I think this will be a very interesting free market experiment. We're going to see what happens. We're going to see. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what if I switch? No, not that I'm going to, because we're pretty happy with our setup. But if I switch no agenda to this, I mean, where would we wind up? I mean, we start pushing a terabit per second the minute we release, you know, so this would be very interesting to see what falls down if we did something like that. But for 99% of all the podcasts out there, this is a solution. And I'm not saying that you need to go full on sovereign and not use your hosting company. Quite the opposite. The hosting companies can get into this game. Like, I think that's what you're saying too.
Yeah. I'm thinking, well, Todd just said $35,000 a month. I mean, like,
there you go.
What I'm saying is, you as a hosting company,
look at Todd being a baller, $35K a month, man.
baller.
As a
hosting company, you have to look at this for the future, and at least say, okay, this is worth considering some sort of investment. Yeah. I mean, let it play out. Let it play out for the next few months and see.
Yeah,
well, the stability and how it progresses. But be ready. To spend a few thousand dollars to make an investment in a box or in something to get you into this game, because it will, like, I mean, just think about that's true decentralization.
Yes.
Because we've said this before, the hosting company, the CDN, the delivery of the audio part, that's not the fun part of doing what you do as a host.
Right.
That's just a thing. It's like the dirty thing that you just have to do.
Yeah, it's the plumbing of your hotel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the audio and the delivery of it is so commoditized and has been commoditized for 25 years. That's not the value add. The value add is all the software and support and user interfaces and tooling and all that stuff that you layer on. The delivery of the audio is just pure cost to you.
Yeah.
Anything to make that better is awesome.
I'm so excited about this because we can also start to create. I mean, there's just a lot that can be created out of this. Now, the main thing we need is write-ups. We need people to be writing up how it works. I mean, I've been sending people to musicsideproject.com. There's a pretty decent tutorial video that shows how to do it with the PodPress plugin. Wavelake.com is probably still the easiest at this point. But you know, you don't get the benefit of the splits. I mean, I know that they're going to work on it. I would expect there would be more music-based hosts popping up, and you know, now you can actually add IPFS on that end as well. You can use IPFSpodcasting.net for a music hosting service. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's probably very valid to do it that way because, you know, that's going to be relatively low, you know, number of accesses will be different than a podcast. Just as a side note, James, on his random music project thing, he thought that he should be a music tag, which made him unfindable in the index.
Why did it make him unfindable to be music?
Under Fountain. Fountain.
Oh, because Fountain segregates that into a separate tab.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
And I also think it's just incorrect. I mean, if it's, I think all of, even playlists should not be music. Music should be music.
Yes. Should be pure music. Yeah.
So I actually reset in the index to make sure that got re-indexed because he had made the change in his feed, but it wasn't going all the way through. A couple of ideas. Okay. If you are in an app and you want to boost a song, it would be great if the boost button reflects that. Maybe we need to think about boost the show or boost, and then title of the song, just so people have a visual cue there as to what they're doing. If that makes any sense?
I don't know what you mean.
Okay, so I'm using Podverse, but I'm listening to the show, and then I want to boost, and the boost button title has actually changed to boost, Sarah Jade.
Like it's calling out where the boost is.
Yeah, a dynamic change. Just as a thought. I mean, anyway, everyone's interface is different.
After the fact, like fade out pop up that says, boost sent to Sarah Jade Bob.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know about after the fact. It would be nice for people to have a visual cue right there. Like, when you hit this boost, it's going to this artist. I mean, it was wonderful to watch Tina because she was listening to the show and a song ended and she's like, wow, I really like that song. And I said at that moment on the show, I said, hey, if you'd like a song, you can always rewind and go back. And she actually did it. I saw her do it. Like, oh, I can do that. She went back to the song and then boosted it. And yeah, so these types of things are important for people to understand because it's not really, I mean, we're still so new in the communication of this. A request that came in, I thought was interesting. Someone said, I would like to boost all the artists all at one time. So all the songs in the show all at once. But I don't know how we do that, if it's crazy or if that's just one person, but I wanted to mention it because I thought it was an interesting thought.
Well, so I like seeing what we're seeing with the different apps trying different interface styles. Like Fountain Oscar put a lot of thought into that interface.
And absolutely.
You can go into as you're listening to the show, you can go in and look, and it will show you all the referenced songs in there.
Yes.
And you can boost them individually.
Yep. I like that a lot. Yeah.
That would be a place where you could sort of roll that up too and say, okay, do you want to boost each individually or do you want to boost them all at once? So
yeah,
there's a lot of user interface, since this is so brand new and so out there as far as like what is actually happening, that's a field that's ripe for, you know, for playing around all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you got something else to go ahead, but then I want to talk about Castomatic.
No, let's talk about Castomatic.
Yeah. So like that sort of plays into the thing with Castomatic, and this is going to apply to any app that doesn't have a server backend. So that would be AntennaPod. Those apps have unique constraints, but so I love these types of apps, podcast apps. In a sense, they're the most pure.
Let's set the stage here.
Okay.
We've always said whatever we do, it has to work for everybody. We can't just work for a couple of apps. If there's a serverless app, all our stuff has to work for that as well. So that's the driving factor behind this specific conversation.
Yes. Yeah, and there is a sense in which the serverless apps, you could think of, like, if you want to go old school, things like Dogcatcher and Apple Podcasts at one time was a serverless app. Yep. In a sense, they connected to a directory, but they didn't. That's about it. So these serverless apps are really some of the, like, they're pure podcast apps. They have built-in RSS aggregation, and they just do everything on device. And there's so many benefits to doing it that way. It's a great experience, and it's easy and it's cheap. So whatever everything has to work for that type of app. The live experience has to work for this type of app. The value time splits have to work. And so far most of it has, but there's a couple of things that are an issue, and one of them is the value time splits referencing remote items. So first of all, referencing the remote item is the exact correct way to do all of this.
Completely agree.
Because here's what you could do. So let's think about this. You could have done your live show. Then after the fact, you could have hit a magic button.
Yeah, I love those.
That would have resolved all of these remote items into hard-coded value time splits with the value blocks pulled in from those remote items directly into the feed and now it's static.
Which is basically what the split kit does.
Okay, so that would be one way, but you lose the ability to track over time. Later on, let's just say you post that episode in 6 months, year, 2 years from now, Ainsley Costello changes her value block to reference a different wallet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Gotcha. This is where the GUID comes in.
Right. And this is confusing because this is the part of the confusing nature of what value time split does. And
let me throw something in there for you, okay, because there's a huge bit of confusion just so you can address this and then I'll be quiet.
Sure.
There's a lot of confusion between value time split and chapters. There's a lot of people thinking, well, so it's tied to the chapters, because what they're seeing is album art rotating as part of the chapters while the value block switches. It's two independent things.
Right.
But just, I mean, I think Sam Sethi was also confused about it.
The reason, well, to divert for a second, the reason that's, we talked early on, Chapters seemed like a natural place to do these value time splits. But there's an ideological thing here where you don't want a major feature dependent on another major feature.
So, yeah.
Right. These things, and I thought Sam Sethi made this point really good in the episode where he interviewed you, which is the whole idea of these things from the beginning has been that they're modular.
Yeah.
You can take various tags and plug them in different places to create new structures of things that can do things that the previous things could not do by themselves. A perfect example here is remote item. Remote item can be a standalone element in the feed if you want to make a playlist, or it can be a child of the value time split tag where now it means go pull in a specific piece of data.
Mm-hmm.
So these elements are modular. So if you think of this as features, so if you go like, let's say ideologically, you go one step up the chain here and say, okay, value time split represents a feature, and that feature is the ability to change a value block wallet destination on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
That feature should not be dependent on some other feature. Let's just say, alternate enclosure. You don't want one of these things to be dependent ideologically on another thing. So the reason is because an app, you don't want to require them to write a chapter parser in order to get the ability to switch wallets.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree.
Some apps don't want to, maybe they don't want to support chapters.
Right. Well, they will be pushed off the cliff, but okay.
Yes. So, like, here's an example. Maybe they don't feel a need to support chapters because they target devices that don't have interfaces. Maybe it's an iPod Shuffle. Okay, there's no benefit they see to chapters.
Right.
But they still want to listen. They still want to be able to switch remote wallets.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason you don't want to force that. So anyway, that we've just established that. So the decision was made to put this information in the XML of the feed itself. And so that's when Alex came up with this value time split element.
Yeah.
The value time split references, it can reference two things. You can put a value block directly into the value time split where you just have value recipients defined statically, just like a value block, or instead you can put in a remote item tag, which means app, when you see this, go look up this feed, its current version of the XML, go grab a copy, extract the wallet data out of it, and use that. So one is a live lookup in real time. The other one is static forever data that never changes.
Right. And so the live lookup is the issue.
Right. So the live look, like I said before, you could make it where the post-production tool extracts it all at production time and creates static items. That's less than ideal because you don't track these things changes over time. But then the burden of a remote item reference is that things like AntennaPod and Castomatic have to do live lookups, and potentially that's a ton of traffic
and a lot of things that can go wrong.
Yeah, because they have to pull the whole feed down and parse it.
Yeah.
In real time.
While someone's waiting for the show to play.
Yeah. So they would have to be sort of like reading ahead or doing it or looking just the same way they do chapters.
Right.
Grab a copy of the file. It's sort of like whenever you hit play and recheck everything and see. So really, I see that as a burden on us with the API to provide more efficient lookup tools to make this easier on those sorts of apps so that they can get this data quick and with a lot of efficiency. So that would be something like an API endpoint where Cast-O-Matic can call the out to this endpoint and just get a real-time list of all of the value splits with their wallets resolved in one go.
Right, but it's unlike the value block. It's not a shim because it has to exist in the feed initially in order for it to be stored in the index.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing. It's, if it's in the feed, it's the feed. If it's in the feed is a source of truth.
Right.
If it's not in the feed because it's been shimmed with, you know, with the partner API or the podcaster wallet, then that's that was the podcaster's choice, and so we're honoring that too. So that, but if you, so I'm thinking, okay, well, when you call, it should be as easy as loading a chapters file.
Right.
So, and that means we would do all the resolution on our side ahead of time. Maybe pretend, I mean, every time the feed's parsed.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Every time the feed's feed parsed, update, we do all this lookup.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's been behind what I've been trying to think through with the schema for the database. I'm trying to model what that's going to mean for us with the way the tables are going to be laid out. And so there's like, you could think about it this way. I posted the database schema online if anybody wants to look at it.
Yummy.
it's not nearly as yummy as you think it is. It's on the namespace, the GitHub repo. There's a repo for database and it's just called database. And so there's the current, let me see here. Let me get the namespace. Let me get the exact reference if anybody wants to check it.
Disgusting.
Oh, is it all grimy?
Yeah, I just cleaned it up. Let me see. Sounds better too.
Yeah. I can tell you're real into what I'm saying here as you're cleaning.
I was actually with my eyes closed in a Zen mode, just using the corner of my shirt to clean the bell while I was listening and visualizing the database GitHub.
You polishing your dome while
yes,
talking.
There it is. Hey, I make the jokes around here.
Okay. Piece. It is called, it is in the podcast index.org database repo, and the file is called pcapi_schema.sql. So, and that's just the table structure. There's a news feeds table, which is the podcasts, and there's an episodes table, which is called NF items. So there's for people who aren't database people, there's this notion within databases of what's called a foreign key. Or you could call it a foreign key constraint.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a table called podcasts, and then I have another table called episodes, what I want is for the episodes table, for all these rows in the episodes table, to reference back to an ID of the podcast that they belong to in the podcast table.
Okay.
So there's a column in the podcast table called ID, and then there's a column in the episodes table called podcast ID. Well, that podcast ID column in the episodes table needs to be tied to the ID column in the podcast table. They need to be tied together in such a way.
Ah, yes, I see.
That if you were to do something like delete the podcast out of the podcast table, all the episodes with that podcast ID linked to it in the episodes table also get deleted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't get orphaned. So that's what you call a foreign key constraint. So what you do is you're telling the episodes table, hey, I have an index on this column here, which is podcast ID, mm-hmm. and I have there's also an index over here on the podcast table under the ID column. That's a foreign key. So I'm going to go and reference that. And here's what I want to happen. I want, if the podcast ID over in the podcast table gets deleted, I want to take this action. And that action could be do nothing, leave it there. The action could be update it to change to reflect the new ID, or it could be cascade. So you can have these cascading actions that happen across a foreign key set. This is the typical way that you set up relationships it's why it's called a relational database.
It's how I've always done it.
Yes, it is. It is. All your databases are relational.
You bet.
So when you're thinking of through this, this is a complex set of tags. We all know this. We know that value time split and remote item. These are not easy tags to model.
No.
So there is a table in our database called NFGUIDs. And the NFGUIDs table is simple. It's just a GUID column and a feed ID.
Right.
So the podcast ID is there, and it says, okay, this podcast ID is this GUID. And there's a foreign key that relates back to the podcast table, to the news feeds table, so that there's linkage there. So the issue is where to make these links.
I'm sorry.
What?
Sir Bemro says, foreign key is antiquated. They're now known as migrant keys. Thank you. I needed that, Bemrose.
Okay. All right. You got me, Bemrose.
That was good.
Yes. Thank you for making this not boring. So, you could do it that way. So would you say, all right, should there be a foreign key constraint on the GUIDs table for the remote item? Is that the right place to link it? That would mean the GUID has to exist. You can't link to there's a link is there. You can't link to something blank. So that's not good, because some feeds don't have a GUID before they need to end up with a remote item.
Yeah.
So does that mean that you're just going to break the linkage and say, okay, well, there doesn't have to be a foreign key constraint, because that's not good, because if without foreign keys, then you have slow joins, then you have to do full table scans. So there's things like, I've started drawing this out, and there's just things that there, I don't think it's going to be possible to avoid trade-offs here. The value time split itself is pretty straightforward. That tag looks a lot like the sound bites tag. So it's pretty much like the soundbite table. But when you bring in the remote item, that's when it gets messy.
Mm.
And like, because you can end up with duplicates if you don't have a unique index. But then unique index seems to not really work for this. So I'm trying to be as honest as I can.
Sounds like you really don't know what you're doing.
Well,
I mean, but you haven't made a choice yet. Let's put it that way.
Thank you for softening the blow.
Came out wrong. Hold on. Let me soften it for you.
You know what's really hot? Open source. Send your pull request now.
Oh, that's old school. You dug deep in the bag.
I did.
Okay. I got ISOs, by the way, so you fire at will on those.
Oh, okay.
I forgot. I
see what you got here. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to be honest and say that I'm not sure exactly what structure this is going to take. I think there's going to be trade-offs, but I'm committed to get something working.
Of course.
For this, because they need to, these apps need to be first-class citizens in podcasting 2.0. It's not fair to leave any of these apps where they can't do these things. Part of that's going to be a GUID resolver. Brian's already written the code for that.
Ooh.
and he's running one. As soon as I get the value time split and all that stuff, as soon as I get that schema stuff settled and get an API endpoint written, that's the thing I'm working on right now. But then next I'm going to switch to the GUID resolver and we're going to run one too, cause it's cheap and we're going to load balance it sort of like we do with podping.cloud. And that'll give everybody the ability to have quick, GUID lookups. So anyway, that we're building this stuff and it's going to be a little messy, but I think once we sort of get a little bit further into it, we'll be able to have something that doesn't leave anybody out.
Bananas crazy.
There you go. That's what yeah. you were looking for. Wow. So, okay. Big changes here at the index.
Long way to go. Big stuff. Sorry for that. Yeah, but,
No. I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a breather? Want to play a song? Okay. Want to play a song?
I'd love to, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to switch the block right now as we're going. It's Sam Means. Listen to Kalina.
It's a lonely open road. It's a matter of my soul, just a matter of keeping you, Kalina. Don't leave me away. I can read the lights on the television. You, Kalina, don't leave me away, Kalina. Kalina, Kalina, my girl. It's the season of my solitude. I can hold my own. I just want a little gratitude. You just let me know. So here we go, Kalina, go. Lead me away. I can hear the bells in the church ringing. Kalina, go. Lead me away, Kalina. Kalina, 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 Kalina. It's the only road to travel, it's the only road to drive. I can find it in the city, I can find it in the sea. Anywhere you wanna go, you can go back home. I can hold it up again, so hold it up again. Be gone, you might not see it. Be gone, you might not see it. Anywhere you wanna go, you can go back home. Easier than sitting home. Any way you wanna go,
Kalina.
What a great tune,
isn't that? I love Sam Means. He's good.
Yeah, he's got chops.
Yeah, he's got a whole album out. I think maybe even more than one album. And of course, if you were listening on a modern podcast app, your Satoshis were switched to his wallet. And if you boosted during that song, that went to him as well. Thank you for supporting Value for Value Music.
I'm glad that you're still playing songs on our show. That's fun to me.
Well, we also, I mean, people still need stuff to test with. I mean, I'm going to drop another Boostergram ball tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to do like Saturday. I mean, it has to be a day that I'm not already doing a podcast.
Those are getting harder to find.
Yeah. But, you know, I had some fun this morning. It's, I'm trying to make Friday kind of my Sabbath. I'm not doing any Gitmo Nation stuff. You know, I'll skim through the emails, everything that looks no agenda related. I'll just leave that for Saturday when I do show prep.
And so Friday's your Sabbath. That's like we're in church together.
I know. Yeah. So we are in church because this is not work.
It's a cathedral.
The cathedral. Thank you. The podcasting 2.0 cathedral. Because this is all fun, and I picked out a number of songs. I think I might have heard that one on James's show. Now that I think about it. I'm running through Ellen Beats and running through Wave Lake and then looking through email, people suggesting songs and people sending in stuff. And so it's, but of course we need to do one on our show. This is where we still run with scissors. So people can always know there's something to test on our show.
So are you going to be live on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to drop it live.
Okay.
Yeah. I think around 12:30 probably. Now just a little side note about all this stuff. This could not have come at a better time when, I think I mentioned that on the ball when this Vanity Fair article had come out, and this, Susanna, I think her name is, she was on the Pod News Weekly Review.
No, Rebecca
Sanas.
Good interview.
Yeah. And you know, it was like this, where the title of her article was "After the Podcast Gold Rush, is Audio Too Corporate to Be Cool?"
Yeah, she's an ISO canon. All of my ISOs are from her. She's amazing.
She's
got an amazingly clear and like pungent voice. It's amazing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that too.
pungent voice. Yeah, good way of describing it. And for me, it's like we just opened up a whole new category of podcast. And I think it's golden days now for podcasting. This is the moment to get into it. This is the moment to start music shows. I mean, it's the ultimate discovery is to have, you know, someone you listen to who picks songs. You may not like them all, but hey, we made a fast forward button. We got chapters.
Yeah.
Right. You know, all these handy little tools. But, you know, it's the ultimate discovery tool for music. And I know people will be listening to the Boostagram Ball to see, you know, what I'm playing. And believe me, I plan on playing songs I played last week again because I like them so much. You know, it's not like it has to be new music every single show. No. No, I want people to think, oh, yeah, listen to some groovy tunes, but we should have 1,000 music podcasts, 10,000, especially at this very moment. And two things are happening. Two things happen. First of all, Spotify's hiking their price. We'll see how that goes for them. That's a tough one. They're in negotiations with the music industry now. And, you know, so those guys want a bigger piece of the pie. So the whole business model of Spotify is complicated. Did you see what Ainsley Costello posted about how the performance was of Value for Value versus the 60 other platforms she's on?
I heard Sam quote her, but I mean, it sounded like it was like a 3x times
yes.
earnings.
Yeah, it was more than $100 Value for Value versus $36 on 60 other platforms. And she, I mean, it's astounding. And I think it's just going to keep on going because yeah. people just love supporting music and, you know, Value for Value is exactly the way you want to go because you'll be surprised how many people will send you more than you thought you ever deserved. Now, the second thing, and this is sad, this is almost like the PayPal apocalypse. Patreon had a super meltdown when they changed their processing, their merchant processing to an Irish company, and it's been denying payments of patrons. You have to go through a lot of hoops. You have to call your credit card company because they're seeing all of a sudden a foreign payment coming through is being blocked. I mean, it's canceling multiple patron account. I mean, it's a mess. Yeah,
this is the PayPal apocalypse all over again.
Yeah, except this was not intentional.
Those people just don't come back.
No, oh, absolutely. Oh man, it hurt No Agenda real big. Mm-hmm. People just went screw PayPal, and they just stopped. You know, and they stopped, and probably not even thinking that they had, monthlies or, some kind of ongoing sustaining donation payment going through it. Oh yeah. That cost us quite a bit. But understandable. So value for value, man, now we have to take note that, not if, but when Albie goes down, cause it'll happen.
Oh yeah.
It'll happen. There's going to be blood on the moon. And there'll be a lot of unhappiness for however long it will take because they're going to have some massive node thing they'll have to do, and it's going to really suck. Luckily, things could be switched out relatively easily, and we don't wish this on anybody. But we've been around long enough. This will happen, so we always have to be careful with centralization.
But the thing about that though is that nobody's subscriptions are affected by that because there are no subscriptions.
No, like, I know.
This stuff is purely voluntary. It's manual. The boostergrams are manual. The streaming sats are automatic. You would have a temporary. Let's just say the Albie apocalypse happens and Albie goes down for, let's just say 2 days. Then it comes back up, and the listener just never really knows. It's not a thing that like you get an email that says, "Hey, your credit card, your subscription to X podcast just got was denied."
Right.
Here you got to go do a bunch of stuff to set it all back up again. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of listeners that are just going to be like, you know what, I wasn't really listening to that all that much anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Deal. It's the inverse. You're so right. I had another thought. There's still been this. Because of course I pop back on Noster, which my Noster usage has gone down by 95%. I don't know. It's just not that interesting, I guess. But I hopped on to promote the Boostergram ball, figuring people would be interested, and that
they're not.
No, I think there was definitely some interest, but in that I saw that I had a thread going with the Damus developer, Damus, whatever it is.
Oh, he actually responded to you. He acts like I don't exist. So.
Oh, and he said quite adamantly, "Oh, they're coming for podcasting 2.0. Don't you worry, they're coming. They're coming," which they haven't. But I was thinking, it's so different what we're doing. It is just because it's Satoshi's. It's completely different because this is not a quick quid pro quo where you make a post, you get zapped, or people say, if you post this, I'll zap you, right? That's not really this mechanism. Our mechanism is also the words we use, value for value. But as I was talking to someone about this, about how the Satoshis, this value is really... often the numerology, no, I'd say the numerology is as important as the words itself. I mean, if I just go through and look at 9999, 2121, 2222, 3333, 8008, your favorite, 2112, 777, 1776, 1948. I mean, there's a lot of this. And you know what that is? This has been determined by the Supreme Court of the United States and Citizens United. It's speech. Money is speech.
Oh.
Value for value. Canceling that from the App Store is a constitutional violation. Now, granted...
I like this.
Granted, they're not the government, but you can make a real case that you're canceling speech, not payments. It is boosts and value for value streaming payments are speech. Go look at Citizens United. That's why, campaign.
Is that the one that said like companies are people?
No, I don't think that. Citizens United, a conservative nonprofit group called Citizens United, challenged campaign finance rules after the FEC, that's the Federal Election Committee, stopped it from promoting and airing a film criticizing presidential candidate Hillary Clinton too close to the presidential primaries. 5-4 majority of the Supreme Court sided with Citizens United, ruling that corporations and other outside groups can spend unlimited money on elections because it's speech.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. They determine that corporations have unlimited donation capacity.
They speak with money. Money is speech. Yeah,
they're for the purposes of. They basically function as people. They are persons.
And they have
speech just like a person does.
And they have speech through campaign finance. But ours are so clear because we are literally using Satoshis as speech. Shall we thank a few people while we're at it? Let's see what they had to say.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you want to do another topic first?
No, go ahead. We can do this. When we come back, I got some more stuff.
Okay, because we got a lot that came in while we were just this show. Everyone's happy to see us back.
Yeah, that's true.
50,000 from Dreb Scott, boosting Kalina by Sam Means. Nice tune. Beautiful. So that went to Sam. And he did it from CurioCaster. Dave Jones, 800. That must have been to Sam Kalina as well, I presume, unless it was an imposter.
That's all I had in my Albi wallet. I feel like a cheapskate.
Wait, what happened to your Albi wallet, man?
I don't know. It's dry.
But no more powder. No. 7777 from Mike Newman. Striper to boost. Value time split boostage. Groovy Kalina on a Friday afternoon. That's right. Harf hat. 33-33. We got Sir TJ the Wrathful. 99-99. And he says, boosting is loving. Let me see. I have that somewhere. Boosting is loving. There you go. Thanks to all involved in the making of Podcasting 2.0. KTLD. Keep the lid down.
That's right. I forget about that.
Yeah, I think
especially here in church.
Yeah, we have. Yes, in church, it's like
the lid down.
2121 from Macintosh. We had two 2121s. Dave, I looked at the schema. What's the name of the super busy table? Thought it was an episode, but I don't see it. And then he says, "You literally answered the question. Go podcasting."
Go podcasting.
Boob 808 from Mr. Robot, sending some bobs over here for a test. He might have meant boobs, but I don't know. Running with scissors. 99.99 from Mr. Robot. The boys are back in town between Podcasting 2.0 and the Boostergram Ball 5x5. Nostra's got nothing on this. Go podcasting. Todd Cochran, 10,000 sats. Can IPFS scale to petabytes per day? Only one way to find out, Todd. Probably not right now, I don't think.
Well, I think it can scale.
Unlimited tech. I mean, technically.
Yeah. Why not? It's like lightning in that regard.
Yeah.
There's not really an upper limit. As long as the nodes are there, it's because it's shared bandwidth. It's shared. Like it's.
Yeah.
Shared is not the right word.
Distributed.
Yeah.
I'm
unsatisfied with all these terms that I'm trying to use.
I have a 5 gigabit fiber connection. And so it'll come down to machine performance and drive performance, I guess, before I saturate that. 17,776 from Boobery. Can't speak highly enough of the split kit, thesplitkit.com. We can drop new art on the fly, build new chapters for the topic at hand, play boostable music all at will. It's fantastic. Thank you, Stephen B., for allowing me to feel like I'm back out on tour running shows.
No.
That's right.
I didn't know Boobery. Is it? Okay to have Booberry here in the sanctuary? That's a little...
here's Cameron with 55,555. Who knew value for value was all it took to make self-hosting / crowd hosting possible? There it is. Magic, Cameron. You created magic, brother. Chad F, 3650. This is how many sats I made for my IPFS node. Wow. That's not bad. A buck.
Sweet.
Love that. Sir Brian of London, PhD. 41,948 Israeli boost. I have to talk to Dave next week about IPFS. Meantime, I'm marked safe from exploding lithium batteries on a boat and back to Israel.
We're glad you're alive.
Good to hear it. Yes. There's the clip custodian coming in with 100,000 sats.
Wow. No.
Hey, Neil. Nice, man. Thank you.
Neil, thank you.
He just says, has no note, just a boost.
Neil's a great guy. We had lunch one day.
He is a great guy. 10,000 sats from C. Brooklyn 112. I like this stuff. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Then we have Mike Newman. Whoa, Mike Newman gets a big-ass baller boost. 211,112.
Baller, nice. Not caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Great having the band back together. That's it. That's the boost. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Nice, man. Thank you. Wow.
That's it. That's the boost.
That's the boost right there. 12,121 from Dreb Scott. Pew, pew. You got it. 33,333 from Eric PP. And there's Dreb Scott with 121,212. Pre-show boost. Hope you guys are well. Go podcasting. Thank you, Dreb. Always there helping us out. Pfeiffer, 6666. Go codpasting. Trying to mess me up, aren't you? Absurdient with 3333. The Pod Sage shall now be called the Oracle of Knowledge. Dave, drop some knowledge on the last show. Go podcasting. The Oracle of Knowledge.
Don't know about that.
And let's see. And then the last pre-show boost, 17,776 from Boobery. The elites don't want you to know, but the goats in the green room are dead. You can massacre them as we have 761 dead goats. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Boobery. I don't know if we can have him in the sanctuary. It's
you're not scary. Allowed in the church.
You want to thank some other people that we had come in, or what do you want to do?
I would love to. Yeah, I'd love
yeah,
to.
Let's do
this. Let's do it full, and then
let's
we'll
do
come
it
back
live.
And talk about
some stuff. Let's do it. Let's do it live. Boosting is loving.
The boys from Buzzsprout, BFB. $500.
Oh, man.
Baller.
Thank you so much.
Caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Highly appreciated. The boys from Buzzsprout, thank you.
They got to be cooking up something. They've been 2.0 silent for too long.
I did an interview with for the Buzzsprout podcast.
Oh, yeah, Albin.
With Albin, yeah.
Yeah, how'd that go? I haven't listened to that episode yet.
It's actually one of those interviews where he got a lot out of me that I haven't told before on shows, just different stories.
That's kind of hard to do, actually.
I mean, I know Tina's like, is you tell all your stories again? I said, no, these were some new stories. Funny enough. Yeah. He's a nice guy. Sweet guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alvin's a good guy.
A lot. It was all about podcasting. So if you're interested in that.
Yeah. I'm so behind on my podcast from being out of town. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Bus route.
Thank
Tom,
you so much,
Kevin
guys.
And the gang. Jesse Anderson, $33.
Thank you, Jesse. Very nice.
That's a one-timer on the PayPals. And we got Brendan at PodPage.
Ah.
Did a $25 a month subscription, which really helps. Thank you, PodPage.
Thank you, Brendan. Yeah. So I, it's a funny story. I had Curry and the Keeper running over on PodPage, which you've actually cleaned up nicely. And then, because it's so easy, you know, you just have to have an RSS feed and you create a website. You can connect your domain name to it. And so I did that for Boostagram Ball. And you have to, when you want to connect a domain name, so it's like there's an extra fee because of the SSL bullcrap they got to put on there. And so you actually send an email, and then like half of the company's emailing me back like, hey, so cool. We love this. And then Brendan's like, hey, man, you know, this is motivating me. I gotta step up and put some tags into this. And so he came out with a whole bunch of tags that are supported. I haven't messed around with them yet, but now also supporting the show and the project. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was nice to see. It's nice to see. I mean, it was, oh gosh, 6 or 7, 8 tags, something like that. Not a bad,
quite a few.
Not a
yeah.
bad outing. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see. We got some boosts. We got 1,001 sat from Absurdient. Thank you. There's gonna be a bunch of boosts here. No notes. Thank you. I am Robot 3333. A little pre-show boost for the board meeting. We got 22,222. A big row of ducks from Eric PP through the boost CLI.
Ooh, thank
he's
you.
Doing, he's doing it old school. 22,22 from the Trickler. That's probably the Swedish
Trickler.
He says, go podcasting. Tag, you're it.
Yep. Thank you.
Oh, here's a 22,22 from Boobery. He says, spent a summer at Middleton Plantation in Charleston, South Carolina, blacksmithing. 10 out of 10 would recommend if you like it hot, heavy, and dirty.
Just give some ducks for these people.
22222, a big row of ducks from Boo Bear. He says, speaking of chapters, based off the testing I did over the weekend, you can take one second GIFs and stack them one.
Oh, he's doing animation kind of like a Cinematron. So, a chapter image, a new chapter every 1 second, and then it animates.
Nice.
He's having too much fun with the split kit is my idea.
Okay. I think we might've read that one on the last show, actually.
We might have.
Yeah. Here we go. Ned, 10,000 sats. He says, 'cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job and you ain't got shit to do. 10,000 sats. Thank you, Ned.
That's us, man.
Sir TJ the Wrathful, 99.99 sats through Podverse. He says, so excited for value music. It's all about the value, not the money.
That's right. It's just feeling the value.
Oh, he says, here's Sir Alex Gates, the Podcasting 2.0 consultant. He says, 12,000 sats. And he says, already considering adding PGP keys to feeds for Podping verification.
Nice. Oh, sexy. So can I email the Podping then?
Yes.
Encrypted. <right.
laughs> You can send email. Yeah, Podpings by email. That's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
17776 for Booberry through Fountain. He says, Adam, I was wanting to hook up BoostBot to a shock collar. We already read that one.
We Sorry. Did.
I'm trying to find the cutoff point here. Let's see. Because it was the time zones got messed up. Let's see. 2222 from Cole McCormick says, Cherry on Top gives me Avril Lavigne vibes. Total hit. Boosting is loving.
Interesting.
Steve Wilkinson.
I think we played that one too.
Honestly. Oh, did we?
Yeah, I think so.
This is from like 7:45 p.m.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Steve Wilkinson, great song. Go Podcasting 2.0, Music 2.0.
Yes.
Go Podcasting!
4567 sats. Thank you, Steve Wilkinson. John's BRT, 25,000 sats through Fountain. No note. 50,000 sats from Khalil.
Nice.
Through Fountain. He says, love the response to the Google guy with the podcast definition. My observation in Germany is that people in general now define a podcast as a talk show on YouTube in which the people talk into podcast mics and have headphones on instead of being mic'd properly for a video.
Sounds right to me.
And many of these shows are only available on YouTube. It's understandable to an extent because how would they know, but also infuriating because YouTube is pushing this on purpose because it's more shows for them for cheap.
Yeah, but it's not working.
Nah.
No one's having any success with that. It's just not. And now TikTok is doing something. TikTok, you don't stop.
Yeah, and that'll, at least that's RSS based, so I could,
It's a promotional tool. I guess that would work. Yeah.
Yeah. Mere Mortals Podcast, 2222, our buddy Kyron, the Fountain app, he says, Adam, just FYI, Joshua Dennis has an IPFS podcast called Podcasting for Value. He's on the PI Mastodon, I believe. I remember he was having to troubleshoot a lot, so might have some useful info if you walk into some scissors.
Yeah, I remember looking at it, but I don't think it has. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at it again.
Kevin Bay, 10,000 sats, says, great rock pop tune. And let's see, 2222 from Gene Everett says, boost.
Yo, we got your boost right here.
Boost! Jake L. Str. Has sent us a big long row of Richards, 11111.
Whoa.
Boosting the song. Username is pronounced Jake Lester. Oh, well, there it is. Pronunciation. Right. Jake Lester, Dave. All right.
Yeah.
Boost.
Thank you, Jake. M.W. Dean, 5,000 sats. Like the song, Cherry on Top.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Small satchel of Richards. Sorry, Joel. Joel W. through Fountain, no note.
Boost.
3333 from Bad Career Advice Chad. He says, AI is not innovation. It is supplication. Ooh. It's begging you not to give up and exit the system. Dave Jones, the Pod Sage.
Ooh. Streamer.
You split that one up half and half. Amsterdam Boomer 626, 500 sass. Go podcasting, V for V.
Go podcasting!
Yeah, baby. V for V.
Bad Career Advice Chad back again. 10,000 sats through Fountain. He says, absolutely incredible. V for V needs a lot more quality music like this. I don't know what song that was.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the problem.
We're getting there.
Yeah,
we're getting
there. Of course.
Chad F, 10,000 sats through Podverse. He says, welcome to Value for Value, Ainsley.
I think she had a good experience.
Clearly. Gene Bean, 2222, Row of Ducks, this Castomatic, says, bring on Booster Grand Ball. Well, it was brought.
Yes, it was.
Gene Beans, another 10,000 sats, says, I love Value for Value music. We all do, Gene.
We all love it, man. Boost.
And he gives another 10,000 and says, enjoying the song and glad to see more people taking a chance on Value for Value.
Boost.
Captain Egghead, 1,810 sats through Podverse. He says, time splitting boosting with Podverse. F-Droid 4.13.
Yeah, baby, F-Droid.
Sat streamer.
Halleck, 1,000 sats through Fountain. He says, never apologize for the downer talk, Dave. It really resonated with me. Oh, okay, we're good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like I go on and on sometimes and I get boring.
No, 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 not at all.
My only problem with Pivot is I want more Pivot.
Yeah.
That's everybody's problem. Nomad Joe, 1,000 sats through Fountain. He says, antiwar.com. There you go. Some
all
advertising.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Oh, Ron Plouffe, the aforementioned on the previous show.
That's right.
Creator of the stats pages, 50,000 sats.
Ooh, nice, man. Thank you.
Through Fountain. He says, not related to David Plouffe.
We're sorry about that. I'm so sorry.
Not related to David Plouffe, but glad to be the Podcasting 2.0 stats guy.
Yeah. Yes. Stats guy.
Hey, give Dave, Ron needs a t-shirt. 2.0 stats guy.
Yes.
Gene Bean, 4096. It's a 4K kiloboost. Through Castomatic, he says, I'm a big fan of LogSeq also, Dave. They also have an open collective based paid tier that enables syncing. Oh, I'll have to look back at that then. Okay. Mm. Gene Bean, 2222 through, says PGP is great, but not for the non-techies. Average people will not be interested in dealing with it. Well, I think that could be obscured, right? I mean,
say again.
Good UI,
say
again. The PGP, putting that in the feed for the authentication stuff.
Yeah.
I think that could be obscured.
I think so. Way. Yeah.
Nomad Joe, 1,000 sats. He's just a sweet thumbs up.
Bombshell.
Just listening, 555 says, when I look at splits, it hasn't changed in the Fountain app. Hey, we're getting there, man.
Okay.
We're getting there.
We are.
Mere Mortals Podcast 2222 says, along the lines of Dave's reading, another decent book I'd recommend is Amusing Ourselves to Death, of course.
Neil Postman. Yeah, Neil Postman.
It's a great book. Slightly older, 1985, but accurately paints a picture of how various mediums, such as TV, by their very nature, allow or don't allow for serious discourse, disrespect the audience, and are trending individuals to a Huxleyan dystopia, has given me lots of food for thought to use on the V for V podcast. Yep.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man. Oh, whoa. Cal Hebert, 350,000 sats.
What? Double baller. What is this? What is going on?
Baller boost.
What is going on?
While my intergalactic boombox podcast is on hiatus, wonder what conspiracy would my resident conspiracy theorist would say. I wanted to boost my support to this show and also express my excitement for Booster Grand Ball. I submitted some VO stingers and look forward to hearing some more awesome tunes through Podcasting 2.0, Kyle Hebert.
He did. Let me see. I had the Booster Grand. Where do you put these?
What did he give you?
He gave me some really cool ones. Of course, I'm falling down on the job now trying to give me. It was funny because he said, hey, I got some stingers for you. So he sent me these stingers and it's all Boostergram Corner. I'm like, hey, man, I really appreciate it. But, you know, that's kind of James's thing. It's like, And he said, oh, no, I'm a total Dumbo. I can't believe it. I was just confused for a moment, so he sent me stuff like this.
Boostergram Ball.
Yeah. You
know, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Boostergram Ball.
And
Boostergram Ball.
Man, that guy's got pipes, dude.
And then this one.
Boostergram Ball.
Yeah, I love that one. That's he did great stuff, man. Thank you. Love it.
That's killer. Let's see. Oh, I hope you didn't pay him for those, because that means he would be a scab. He would be violating the.
No, can't do that. No, never, okay. Never. Right. I never pay for
just
anything.
Trying to keep us safe.
No, you pay for gas. Safe. No, forget about it.
Gas. Anonymous, 13,000 sats through Castomatic says, loved Dave's talk about AGI, but I think the discovery of Bitcoin has demonstrated that a small amount of code arranged right can still discover world-changing technologies.
Absolutely.
E-Podcaster says, great morning track, 500 sats. Thank you, E-Podcaster. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. And 10,000 sats says, from a Chris you know?
I know him.
Yeah, I do too. We all know Chris. The Podverse, he says, awesome. Hope to hear more. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 5151 from River City Mystery through Fountain. He says, go podcasting, alien face.
Go podcasting!
Alien face.
Borlog 11711 through Podverse. No note. Thank you, Borlog. 1000 from R. Davis 87 says, boosting for a day with Dave Jones. Thank you for your courage.
Which includes lunch and a massage.
Yes. massage not by me, from my assistant.
1 million Satoshis, lunch and a Zoom lunch and a massage.
you need to bump that number up. That's not a high enough number. Todd Cochran, 100,000 sats.
Nah, Todd. Thank you, brother.
Through the Fountain app, he says, hey, gents, just finished up attending a pretty comprehensive artificial intelligence conference. Don't worry, the world's not ending. The marketing folks are worried about their jobs. Go podcasting.
Yeah.
I heard podcasting!
About an hour of the new media show was about that.
I listened to. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. It was informative.
It was very informative. Yeah. Yes, it was. And to me, it's just, this is all bull crap. Who cares? It's like, I don't see any value in, as a tool for some things, but... No,
my favorite is I go back to this mental model I have where, so Todd said that he wrote a blog post by giving it, say, okay, here's like one of the ChatGPT like systems. He said, yeah. You know, here's a fact. These are the points I want to make. Now write a blog post. And then he went and cleaned it up and everything. So see, this whole model of doing things was exposed because James said that he takes these press releases and then puts them through ChatGPT and says, give me a summation of what this means. Yeah. So you've got the guy on the front end saying, write me a blog post. And then you've got the guy on the other end saying, take this blog post and tell me what it means. And basically it's just the actual blog post is just an envelope. Yeah. It's an envelope to send the real message in.
That's right. It's so true. Yeah.
Scottis Cora gives Van Halen boost 5150 through Fountain. He says, great voice run and catchy.
Thank you.
Whoa. Anonymous 10,000 sats through Castomatic. No note. Franco. Oh, there's your buddy Franco.
There's Franco.
10,000 sats through Castomatic. His baby. He says, this is the very first value time split boost test.
He's got it working.
This is the very first value time split boost test from Castomatic, running blind on a wet floor with very pointy scissors.
Bombshell.
Nice. I told you he was doing it.
Okay, I'm getting there, Franco. I'm going to make this easier for you, man. Give me time. That's amazing. I'm so glad to see him working on that.
What was that line he said again? Running on a wet floor? What?
Running on a wet floor with very pointy scissors.
That's very cool. Yeah.
11711 from Borlog. No note. Let's see. We got, we got the delimiter.
There he is.
Comic strip blogger 33015 through Fountain says, howdy, Adam and Dave. One of my top five hobbies, apart from AI, is drawing cartoons. So I kindly invite everyone to visit website with my cartoons at www.csb.lol. And if you have ideas for cartoons that you'd like me to draw, please send them to me via Twitter, direct message at Twitter handle CSB. Yo, CSB.
Comic strip blogger!
Thank you, CSB. And that's some monthlies, yeah?
Yep. We've got Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate you. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Thank you, Chad. You're all over the place, dude. I love you. James Sullivan, $10. Christopher Reamer, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Thank you, Sean. Cohen Glossbach, $5. Jordan Dunville, $10. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Dreb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of podcasting, $15. Pedro Concalves, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Scott Jalbert, $12. Mark Graham, $1. Martin Lindescope, $1. And Joseph Maraca, $5. And that's it.
And thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0, the entire project, the podcast, everything that we bring to you that is supported by you. And that is incredibly appreciated. Go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you have two red buttons. I might as well check the tally coin.
Do it.
And let me see, tally coin. One of them is for your Fiat Fun coupons. Hold on a second, I just messed up tally coin. That's through PayPal. And of course, you can hit the tally coin if you'd like to send something on chain. Nope, nothing on chain. But really the way to do it and the way to go is to get a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. Thank you, Marcus Couch, for that. And boost away, boost as much as you can, boost often. We love it. And thank you again for supplying us with the treasure part of time, talent, and treasure. Value for value. If you want more on value for value, value4value.info. Okay.
Did you hear? I read this article. Future of TV briefing: how top streamers' ad prices have trended in this year's upfront negotiations.
No. Did you send me this? I don't think you sent me this article.
I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. Okay. It says Netflix isn't the only streaming service to have lowered its ad prices during the year's upfront negotiations.
Its ad prices? Oh, interesting.
In fact, major ad-supported streamers across the board brought down their rates, according to agency executives. Agency executives estimated that the amount of ad dollars committed to streaming in this year's upfront increased by 5-10%, but how much advertisers stand to pay for each ad impression is trending in the opposite direction. For the agency executives, major ad-supported streamers rolled back their ad prices by 5-10%.
Wow.
More like 10% for premium products, said one agency executive.
Wow.
So this goes, there's a lot of good information in here. So this is last year. So Disney, in the summer of 2022, Disney Plus was getting $50 CPM.
That's okay. High.
Now they're in the 30s to mid 40s.
I've heard from quite a reliable source that the streaming companies are delighted with the writer and actors strikes because really? They could not have come at a better time for them. They're rejiggering. They're using this time to figure out what's valuable in their already existing catalog. And from my information, the strike could last well into the new year.
Oh.
Time to start a podcast, people.
Brutal.
Yeah.
That is brutal. Netflix last year was $55 CPM. Now they're in the low to mid 40s.
Well, there's only one way. It's all going to go down. I mean, that's the problem with the CPM model. It's like, how many CPMs do you want? You know, there's so much.
Let's see.
It's too much inventory. It's not enough being filled up. I'm sure of it.
Too much inventory. Yeah. Well, it says, for starters, this year's upfront market overall was softer than last year's given the economic downturn. And sellers were more concerned with securing an overall volume of dollars as opposed to pushing up their prices per ad. Moreover, in accordance with the law of supply and demand, sellers simply have more streaming inventory to sell.
See?
We've seen that pricing come down as they grow some scale, said a second agency executive. The more you produce, if you try to take these seasons and go from like 6 episodes that they are now back up to like 25, 27 episodes like it used to be, that'll just make the problem worse.
Yeah. And that's the problem with the writers. They're not getting, there's too many writers, first of all. Everybody loved it when the streamers were flush with cash. They had all the cheap money. Now the cheap money's gone, and oops, there's a problem. There's too many writers. There's probably too many actors for the amount of work that there is. And the streamers are Silicon Valley guys. We know their model. Give us your creativity. Mm-hmm. Here's nothing. That's the model they thrive on. And for late night TV, you know, that's all gone. I think people have now already switched over to watching TikTok at night in bed or whatever. No, I think there's never been a better time to start a podcast. Even a video thing. I mean, I wouldn't ever advise anyone to go over to YouTube just because of the way they mess with your head. You know, it's like, oh, you're popular. Good. Now we're going to push you down in the algorithm if you don't create more content. You know, that they put people on a hamster wheel. So, you know.
Oh, those guys look ragged. The ones that have to produce content like yes. 3 times a day.
Everybody has to. Once you get started over there, you have to do it. Otherwise, the algo just punishes you. It's horrible. It's slavery. It's digital slavery.
So I've got this idea, and we've briefly discussed this on and off like for a while.
Okay.
But I think I finally have an idea of what I'm going to do.
For your show?
Oh, no. Oh. This is on the API.
Oh, okay. API. But are you going to do your show while I'm on vacation?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I feel like I need to do something because, I mean, you're going to be on vacation for 3 weeks.
Tina actually said, can't you just sneak one in? I said, I'm on vacation. She wants me to work. It's like, you know, you should sneak one in.
Sneak one in. You should sneak one in.
That was my overall plan on vacation, baby. Trust me.
One. Why
there we
one?
Go. There it is. There it is.
Okay. So my idea is here's the problem I'm trying to solve.
Hold on a second.
And I've talked
about it. Hold on a second. Okay. Hold on.
All right.
No, let's do this right. Okay. Since this is a secret thing you're talking about.
Are we in a skiff?
We're in the skiff, yes. We're in the skiff.
Oh, Robert, Bobby the K must be in here. We can't have him talking where everybody else can hear him. So here's a problem I'm trying to solve. I want to have a popularity score. I don't like this word. I'm going to say it from the beginning. This is a shitty word.
Okay.
I don't care about necessarily about popularity. Okay. Let me start over. It's not popularity that I'm wanting. These are rankers.
Ranker. I was just about to say, you mean a ranker?
Yes. I don't want a ranker. But there is value in finding out what people listen to, you know, on the regular, because if 50,000 people listen or subscribe to a podcast, I mean, it's probably pretty good. I mean, it's probably decent content. So, you know, versus something that's been around for 10 years and 100 people subscribe to it. Just like you can glean some stuff from this is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So that's a thing that we have never been able to have. We don't know in a direct way what shows are actually being subscribed to. So I've talked about this before. I want a way to get some of that information so that we can begin to make the index feel better and give data back. Like, hey, what's popular? What are people listening to? What are the, you know, what are these, like, give some notion as to what other people are doing.
Can I ask you a philosophical question?
Since I would love one.
Since we're in the skiff. This is a new item. I love that, by the way. Who are you creating this score? I'm just going to call it the score for.
apps.
Okay. That is substantially different from anything else. So I'm liking that.
Okay. And here's why. Here's why it's important to me right now, because of music. Music, and here's a problem that I ran into over the weekend, and I feel like this would have helped. So I subscribe to this podcast, America This Week, with Matt Taibbi and Walter Kern,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of my favorite shows. Every week they discuss a short story. This week, they discussed the story Bartleby the Scrivener by Herman Melville. And each week when they discuss this, I go through the same process. I look first on the podcast index and I look to see if there's any open source like LibriVox or any audiobooks that have already read this, because a lot of the stories they talk about are in the public domain.
Ah, okay.
And then if I can't find it there, then I will go to Audible, because they're usually pretty short. So what I do is they say, hey, what's this week's story? Let's talk about it. I hear what the story is. I pause the podcast, go look for the story somewhere else on the index. If I can't find it there, then go to Audible, listen to the story first, then come back and listen to them discuss it.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Cause you want to read it, quote unquote, hear, read it. And then you want to hear the discussion.
Yeah. And it's fun. I love it. So that's my typical thing. So when I went to the index and searched for Bartleby the Scrivener, it came back with a lot of results, probably 10 or 12. I don't remember. You know, and just like any audiobook thing, the narrator is 99% of the experience. I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that matters, right?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to open source, like LibriVox type stuff, there's a lot of bad readers out there.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time, but you're not great. So it would be wonderful to have some sort of popularity score that's real, that would say, that would tell you, that would at least rank. Now the first, let's just say it ranks them in order of popularity based on subscriber count. Let's say that the first one that you don't like that narrator, but there's a good chance that at least the ones on the bottom are not going to be good.
Yeah.
You might just want to skip them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm saying. Like I feel like we need some sort of way to organize these results.
What's the input? Is the input something we get from the apps, like in
yes.
event?
Yes. So that's what I was wanting to do. And so here's the idea. Here's my initial idea, that there's just an endpoint that an app can submit a file, essentially like a CSV file. And I will prescribe the format that this file takes. And it's just a list. It's just feed ID, subscriber count, feed ID, subscriber count. And it can be feed ID, it could be GUID, it can be feed URL, it can be, hell, it can be iTunes ID, I don't care. So there would be this list, and it can be something other than CSV, I'm just describing a concept. But then they would submit that file to the index, and there's no user data in anywhere in this. It's just purely a list of here are all the feeds that our system currently shows and how many people are subscribed to each one. If we had that, and we could aggregate that from any apps willing to give that back, it could create a truly open source popularity ranking type database that we haven't had.
Yeah.
Because all these existing rankings and popularities and all this kind of stuff, they're all tied to like Apple and Spotify and all these other companies.
So here,
like this would be something. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I'm done.
So yes, Phoebe. Phoebe's looking at me like, dude, it's 2 hours already. I got to pee. Yeah, I got you. Okay. So the way I think this would work best, because what I would hate to see is all of a sudden there's a page and someone says, here's the most subscribed to podcasts.
Right.
Because then you've just basically created an Uber ranker that everybody would love. And, you know, that's going to have people jacking the system. It's like, subscribe, you know, as then you get the everyone goes, you got to subscribe. You know, just all of that crap. If it is something that is incorporated in the way the API, so I don't want a ranker on Podcast Index either. It can return results in the API endpoint, which would be just search or search by, but that at no point can someone aggregate all of this data and say, here's the ranker. What are you laughing at?
I just, me just drop a nuke on the subscribe button.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yes, this would be very, very good to have an API endpoint that returns search results by subscription count, but that you can't just go to the index and say, give me all the most popular, the most subscribed to podcasts.
Yes, exactly. That's okay. You've said that better than I did. The because that's the one thing that we've always struggled to provide since we don't have first party data is like, you know, what's the goal of the index? The index itself is to, when somebody searches for something, we want them to find it. And that's what this would do.
It makes our search better. And honestly, I don't even want that search to work on our site, to be quite fair. I don't want to be the place that would, to me, that's, it's all philosophical, right? It's all about who we are and what we do. I want apps. I want the apps who use our API. I want them to be able to return kick-ass results. I don't want people coming to, I mean, it's a double-edged sword because, of course, I want people to use the index. I want us to be able to use the index. So, you know, that's up for discussion, but the ultimate goal of this, and we won't export that table. I just don't want anyone to create the ranker. I don't want all these apps and all the trust that their users put in them to create someone else's business. That's Silicon Valley nastiness. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. Exactly. The idea here is, if an app will give us back the subscriber counts,
then they get access.
They get better search results. Yeah,
better search results. I love that.
Everybody else gets it. Everybody else gets better search results too.
Yeah,
they're just contributing to better. It makes us better for them to be better.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and there will never be ranker crap. Yeah.
Let's. It's getting warm. It's getting warm in here. Hold on. Cool breeze. That skiff is warm business, man.
It gets hot in there.
All right. Phoebe's got a pee. $2.07 here on the clock.
Okay. Perfect.
It's good to have you back, Dave. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be gone for the next couple of weeks.
Are you going to slip one in?
I think I would like to slip one in for you, baby. So I will let you know if we can slip one in because I will have the rig with me. There will be production going on, but it sounds like you're going to be mondo busy as well with your schema and all this stuff. So we'll see how it comes along, how it feels. I mean, I can't believe that I just started Boostagram Ball. I won't be doing that either. Maybe I'll have to slip one. I mean, why don't I just pretend I'm on vacation, just sit in the studio? That's better.
That's what I did. Yeah. That's toilet scrolling. That just, you know, if you feel froggy, heads up. Give me a heads up.
Brother, I love you. I love doing this with you. I love what we're achieving. And everybody who's listening, thank you all so much for being a part of this grand scissoring experiment. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Have a great weekend, brother.
How are you too, man?
All right. Everybody in the chat room, have a great weekend. Thank you all. We will see if we can slip one in. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon with more Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening. listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Polishing your dome.
Yes, sir. I
am. Go podcasting!
Boosting is loving.